This is called Spoon Digger. Just spoke professionally to him, an archaeologist. My neighbors wonder what I do. Some haven't even got a clue. They mutter she digs with spoons, shifting through rooms. Her future lies broken into shards of Roman pottery she excavates. At first glance, a life not promising, a life not great. A way of life to them seems idealistic, time to be realistic. Not a spoon in sight as she digs through shite. A fragment of bone enough to excite. Time for tea and some more work to be done. Leave trowel at the ready, she reaches her context. The good thing is, she's had a Weetabix. Bending on her knees in her worn dungarees, the work taking its toll on her knees. Trolling through layers to give up their secrets. A lovely decorated piece of Samian ware. Why would someone discard it? Why don't they care? The grooves in the grain, the lips of the ware, intricate decoration, indicating manufacturer care. A pot which served numerous meals, what wonderful secrets it has to reveal. The trench is deep, the tools tough. Some days she really has had enough. Answer your lunch, seriously, it all gets too much. No time for a manicure, some dry skin to the bone. Wearing bays down, no time left to moan. She sits and surveys her riches amongst her soggy sandwiches. She makes herself at home, as they did in Rome. Biscuits are presented, none are resented, as Earl Grey takes our troubles away. And Dave the Snail regales us with a worthwhile tale of Roman Britain gone to rack and ruin. Our workday has ended all too soon. At the end of the day, we are faced with a huge muddle. Our trench has become a rather large puddle. Nothing else for it, we all decide. So we return to the pub where we all try to piece together the puzzle. It's all a bit of a muddle. Trying to frame a living past, creating memories that will forever last.
Thank you, Sheila. Next, we have Paul Atkins.
Short one actually, it's called Peace.
Peace.
From Belfast to Barcelona, throughout the years, hatred has inflicted hurt. When will we acknowledge our own sacredness and accept each other's worth?
Thanks, Paul. Next, we have Eamon Prendergast.
This is a short nature poem about the Aran Islands. At Frenchman's beach, a bicycle I had, and down the road I cycled as a lad. But when returned, I knew that man was mad. For nature had it given all, a roaring sea, a wife. Out at Dung Ingus, the beauty lay serene. And even in the rain, this nature never gave me pain. And in each face that passed me by, the curiosity of nature shy. And in each field, each crock of stone said more than man or bone. Here I can laugh or cry. Here I cannot tell myself a lie.
Thank you, Eamon. Next, can we have Billy Ramsell?
I'll just do half a poem for Barcelona, set in Barcelona in 1995. And it's about seeing two gay guys walking on the street holding hands. And most open and tolerant of cities was, of course, a fascist dictatorship until 1978. So in 1995, that was still something worth seeing, worth noting. They hold hands saying nothing. They return from the rippleless sea. They traverse the long and indolent noon and afternoon like supple, frictionless sunlight, as if their calves, their carved torsos, were manufactured from sunlight. They know no ignorant byways, no side streets with stupefied or rancorous men will enter, neither ignorance nor pleading. And as they amble, man-hand and amiable man-hand past the surf shops of Admiral Cervera Street, one brown boy bobs his mouth down, dips a sudden and definite kiss to the elbow, to the strolling muscovado shoulder of his companion, takes a sip full of salt from that easiness. And the butterflies of rumor start absconding, flakes of hearsay, membranes barely there but pulsing in their cornflower thousands from their colony of notches on that great pot wall. They hover amid the Saturday traffic, hesitate, and in their pullulating spiral climb the air. I'll read the second half next week.
We will hold you to that, Billy. Next up, we have our five-word champion of the week, Nolan Harris.
This is called Crisis into Opportunity. Reactions to the status quo agenda, now noticed in this nation. Frequent overwhelming episodes of simple appreciation. Loss of ability to worry. This is a most serious symptom. The feeling that we are part of plant and animal kingdom. Constantly increasing tendency to savor every minute. Strange, unsettling feelings that reality has no limit. Tendencies to spontaneity rather than acting on fears based on past experience and the influence of the years. Deep appreciation of the warmth from others. Frequent attacks of smiling. Peace to world sisters and brothers. We're aware of these symptoms of no greed, no fear, no hate. The hearts of many people have been infected with this state. Many more of us could start to catch this new condition. This could pose a serious threat, arousing Big Brother's suspicion. To the present stable situation, absorbed some time after birth, of mistrust and separation and conflict on this earth. Thanks.
Thank you, Niall. Next we have Ali Brackett.
Thanks, Rob. This is a speech impediment. Leave me alone, Ali, Ali, leave me alone, alone, leave me, Ali, Ali, leave me alone. I'm tired and worn, torn, torn of scorn, sworn to live and mourn. Leave me alone, Ali, Ali, leave me alone. Can't you see? I am not insatiable, I am not incapable, I am not afraid to be alone. Alone, leave me, Ali, Ali, leave me alone. Leave me alone, Ali, Ali, leave me alone. There is no fee, there is no price, there is no price on freedom. There is no fee and price on the freedom to be alone. Alone, leave me, Ali, Ali, leave me alone. Leave me alone, Ali, Ali, leave me alone. Go on and write me up and wage the fine beneath my windscreen wiper. Go on and cast asunder all your doubts, Ali, Ali, leave me alone. Chastised by clandestine charters and mandates for change from those that wouldn't know change if change itself smacked them in the face. Leave me alone, Ali, Ali, leave me alone, alone, leave me, Ali, Ali, leave me alone. You're breaking up like cheap soap gurgling down the drain frame. Down with it, the stain, shame, belittle the fame, rain to all of those unknown, unknown to the bone. Despite the magic foam, despite the tragic dome, despite the static foam, despite the caustic roam, Ali, Ali never leaves me alone. Leave me alone, Ali, Ali, leave me alone. Alone, leave me, Ali, Ali, leave me alone.
Thank you, Ali. Next, we have Patrick Cotter.
Three short extracts from a longer poem called The Garden. The boy surveys the dream potential of the plentiful bluebell, each seed-loaded jewel in an opened factory of blue perfume, enough to blanket an entire suburb with beacons for bees and botanists and other connoisseurs of scent. The boy sprawls in a carpet of coltsfoot, his eyes shimmering at the diamond-studded sky above, his senses reaching out to the fragrance of a girl he has never met, quietly asleep in a distant house, her smooth folded knees guarding the unripe nectar he'll someday reap. The boy's minute. He rides on a magpie's wing. They go in hunt of every glittering thing. They snatch a button from a Woolworth girl's coat, then a blue bottle's back, then a Tanora can's discarded ring. Before they themselves are ensnared in the verbals of music, they dive to its source, the ice cream man's van, swerving at the last instant into the sky, repelled by the coldness of memory. As Compton sense, the magpie relates a certain blackbird song. How small a word is tree, how much bigger is rustle, which the tiniest leaf sings. The boy knows his last summer has come and listens intently to the sadnesses of automobiles, their lonely wails, their frustrated screeches. He sits alone in his parents' garden beneath the moon-cast shade of the youngest sycamore. The tree has fruited for the first time, not because the boy is dying, but because it is simply time. The older trees applaud. They have angels between their leaves, playing with their seed. A horseshoe is dipping, rising, confused in its eddy of being. The boy dreams he is king of this backyard sliver of Greenland. He dreams he wears a jade crown, a wreath of greenfly, that the ants and bees respect his sovereignty, that this summer night continues for an eternity. Thank you.
Thank you, Pat. Next we have Patricia Walsh.
Some many years ago, he had these very elaborate conspiracy theories about everything from condoms to barcodes. And one of his favourite conspiracy theories was that all children earned a certain age in the Western world were stamped with a laser barcode on them, like they can't see you with the naked eye. But they did that so that the government would be able to control them better. If that sounds off the wall, it definitely is. Okay, it's called laser tattoo. That passed away, so may this. The punching likeness hits the blurred photograph. A play on words wins most of the time. Conspiracy theories emerge over tea, mirroring the light in intransigent glory, connecting overnight seas in a fractured sense. Slipping through lust and terse life forms, burning for pleasure in a moment's peace. A painting antiquation passes observation. The uncomfortable fur sings in the balance, bottlenecked inspiration and hardwired beauty, not meaning what it said, a stationary cold. Hazy timekeeping greets the sufferings, gathering dishes and feet not taken lightly, recognition across the room and likeness sought. A gilded inferno hitting a well-meaning statement. Emergency exits cannot exist anymore. Colored light shows the way, immortal. Punished for light count, eager to please, no context for that smile, unnerving, minding oneself the only religion serving. The patron expiring, vacancy to welcome. Twin paralyzed showed away, focusing badly. Exit wounds falling in love over scrutiny. Thank you.
Next we have Philip Spillane.
An oriental song, a folk song, and it's covered by Robbie Bezier, and that's the version I'm trying to pull off. It's a hard song to do because as folk songs, you know, you have to talk about the message, so I'm going to try and do that.
So please keep it really short if you can. We've got next Sven Hirsbrunner.
Well, I tried to keep it short, but I need a short introduction because the text I'm now telling is in Swiss German. And I'll do the same as we did when we went to France with this text. I will translate like every line, and I'll move my hands like this to show this is like the translation of the line I just told it to Jeremy. So everything is completely true. So now, I just tell the beginning of this text because it's quite a long one, and it's called...
It's going to be 2 minutes.
Yeah, that's why it's just the beginning, so I'll cut it off at then. Okay. It is called Mein bester Freund, My Best Friend. Und plötzlich hat er eine North Face Tasche, and now he has a North Face bag, und du weißt, and you know, shit. Der Typ will ein Auslandssemester machen, the guy wants to take a term abroad. Und wenn er dann aus der Tasche noch ein Lonely Planet zieht, and when he takes a Lonely Planet out of this bag, dann weisst, then you know, shit. Der Typ will nach Asien, he's going to Asia. Und wenn er dann weg ist, ist schlimm, and when he's gone, it's bad. Aber wenn er wieder zurück ist, ist schlimmer, but when he's back, it's worse. He has hat so lange, kleine Zöpfe auf dem Kopf. He has tiny little threads on his head. Und ein mega Bart. And a really big beard. Auch mit Zöpfli. As well with dreads. And... und ein Tattoo. And a tattoo. Which... auf Südvietnamesisch. Which means in Southern Vietnamese. Unendlichkeit. Infinity. Recht cool. Pretty cool. Thank you.
Pure schießt, Herr Kjell. Okay, Alexis Bannerman.
My problem is not desire, but the chaotic abundance of it. I need not full desire, but lean desire. Desire which does not lick my highest thoughts with fire. But sometimes we have to accept danger and mishap, because we were already in it at the time. Yet, no matter how quiet reason is, I do not turn away, for it writes the words of time and space in the powerful play. Each hour I'll be reminded valiantly as one-minded. And so you see how few things a woman needs to master in order to live a smooth and abyss-fearing life. For life will require nothing more of her who keeps these precepts. Thank you.
Francis, next we have Mary O'Connell.
This is called Future-Proofing Life. Why does she keep a diary, spilling onto pages the sequence of her days, using a flow of words to channel currents of her life, wherever they may lead? Revelations of private pain or her blissful interludes are not for prying eyes. She fills blank dates with forthcoming appointments, puts order on the swirl of random thoughts, flings down a net of sprawling ink to catch and hold them before they drain away. Raw, unsifted moments, buried in banked-up memories to hold the past in place. So that turning the pages in her twilight years, she might glimpse again seams of gold glinting through the dross of toiling hours, find herself once more. What if her life silts up? Who will release for her new waves of recognition, when the dammed up mind remains forever locked inside a frozen dream.
Thank you, Mary. Can we have Grania O'Connor, please?
I didn't believe in symbols until my father asked me, "What are you looking at?" We were in Galway by a beach, back when I could overwhelm the sea, pick it by its pigments apart, reduce it to some mediocre art, and keep it just for me. Mam smiled, knowing that's for a painting. I said it's all the bits between the grey and the blue colours made when the light gets through. I knew we had lost you and we were a sea apart then. A wave as strong as a woman going over your head to knock you off your feet, or so it felt. Willing you manipulate your way out of that one. See, I know you, she said. See, I know you, I said. But only in my head, because I knew it was pretend. And you would make meals to go cold and turn to mould, only to get told you do nothing. I didn't know nuance then. Still, we both bore your loss in waiting. For the bits between the grey and the blue colours made when the light gets through. I didn't believe in symbols until I remembered that day and being 16. How I knew nothing but knew I'd know everything now. But I forgot how to look at the sea. So the world stayed grey for me for a while as I fought the tide like all the struggles were mine alone. Afraid I would die if I just let go and float. Let go and float. Surface, say hello. How's it going? Allow us both to catch up. On the bits between the grey and the blue colours made when the light gets through.
Thank you, Grania. We've got six people left and about 7 minutes left. Niamh O'Donovan, please.
Thought gave to life. I close my eyes, give imagination to desire, and the world is hushed. I listen for your footsteps, your quiet cough, and the silence before my thought comes to interrupt. Open me, lay bare the truths I see but rarely touch. Open surrounds, the world awakes, I'm trapped inside a cage. Thought has come, my world's undone, life given to desire.
Could we have Rosaline Crowley, please?
Thank you. Just to say that this poem is about a rejection of a piece of art that I put into a gallery. And I know a lot of people get rejected and get hurt, but there's always light at the end of the tunnel. That painting is now an image in a book that's in the Crawford Art Gallery. So, you know, that's my lesson. Simple rejection. Sorry, I have to tell you that you did not make it. Your art is simple. I say thank you for your phone call. It felt like slings and arrows were hurled at me. Internalized pain burst inside, and then infected my soul, my loss encapsulated with feelings of grief and anger. My words came fast and furious. Decisions by narrow-minded people are always bad decisions. Dictionary in hand, I sought to understand, how subjective is art? When is simple a bad thing? Conceptualism is complex and simple. Art can be simple, simply perfect or imperfect. Days passed and weeks passed. Often I thought on what might have been. I would have fitted in. I am good enough. My body walked by the gallery with quick steps. My eyes pointed away for the most part, and still a small piece of me wanted to peer inside. This door closed, another opened. My dignity is intact. I say art is art, simple or not.
Thank you, Rosaline. Next, we have Cedric Picon.
Shoes, symbol of a way of life. Shoes that don't fit but look good. Never quite easy, but successfully, forcefully fitting until something breaks or wears. The ties, the seams, or the sole.
Thank you, Cedric. Now, Megan Cronin, please.
I'll go next week anyway, so I'll go next week.
Thanks, Megan. We'll hold you to it. To a Meg Sweden, please.
For offended. Then the Irish, it kind of, it's my pitch in Irish. And it goes on the lines, the same stars, your wonder waits your turn.
Tan a real thick lesser loch, and nocht and verse a green. Cook you is the slain. Shame a week a raft to a congroch. Is the rod, is the splinter, the spare. The morrow, big shady is all I spare. The glory, fun of life, Misha, showing fast learning, the gestalt, my nerve in spare. All the old is the gach if you gach in, planet on, gach in, planets on spare. Ach, happen, shiver, hurrider, the adam, hey, long. And on rail, tis the seal shuck, sunny ear, her rare. A story, be cool, moch, let the cream story. My is the two of a who is Misha, ik frastel, ik geisha, in mijn herfing spare, ik frastel, eron oontoch, ik frastel, eron oontoch, ik frastel, eron oontoch.
So no.
That's
it. Nice. And to end the night, we have Rev and Company.
I'll tell you when you get here.
I went so
much. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you all for coming, what a fantastic night. Thank you, a big thank you please to our guest host tonight.